Ephesians chapter 1, as we've started a study in this wonderful book. And I've titled this morning's message, What a Blessing. How many of you have seen something or experienced something and then after you said, what a blessing? That was a blessing. And I'll tell you, the heartbeat of chapter 1 is all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, His children. And when you really allow the Scriptures to have their place and have their way within your heart, to the point that it goes just beyond your mind, of course, but it reaches your heart. It really speaks to you. When you allow the Scriptures to speak to you, you can't help but say, what a blessing. What a blessing. How many blessings you shower upon me, God. Now, one of the greatest things, and that is the theme of this book, is that all these blessings are found in Christ. In Christ, we find so many wonderful spiritual blessings. And the main thing that we discover as believers is our true identity in Christ. And so with that as an introduction to the text, we're going to pick up where we left off in verse 7 of chapter 1. Paul, he writes, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made known or made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, I heard of a story of this boy who he and his dad, they built this model ship. And the boy, he just absolutely loved this ship. And he would go and take his ship out on the lake and he would play with it. And one day, the weather was contrary, if you know what I mean. And so the lake was rough and the weather just got windy and it was raining so hard, and then it started thundering and lightning and it happened so suddenly. And the boy, being distracted, the boat got away from him and he couldn't recover the boat, and he ran home. And he ran home to his dad and he told him what had happened, and they went back to the lake and there was no recovering it. When the weather was better, they just couldn't find it. And so, sometime later, he was walking through the town, and there was a toy store in the town, and there in the window, guess what was there? His boat. And when he saw his boat, he was so excited, he was so happy, he ran in, and he said, "Mister," to the owner of the store, "That's my boat in the window. That's my boat." And he told him the story of what had happened. And the man that owned the store said, "Sorry, son. Somebody came in earlier this week and they sold me that boat. And that boat is mine. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you that boat. It's mine now. Unless you buy it back. Unless you redeem that boat." And so this little boy, he was so upset by that, he ran home and he told his dad in tears. And his dad, he gave him the money and he went back and he bought that boat back. Nice story, huh? Some of you are probably thinking, not really. But nevertheless, there is a lesson in that story. Here, Paul says, in Him we have redemption. The idea of redeeming is that of buying back. And what that little boy did, he bought back something that was lost. God did that for us. We were lost. The Bible tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, He purchased us. Really, the idea of redemption in that day was being purchased out of slavery. An individual who was in slavery would be purchased out of slavery, would be redeemed, and be set free. And what a blessing for you and for me who are in Christ that we have been purchased out of that slavery of sin, and we've been set free to serve God. And this, Paul says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. You know, in our life, what do they say? Cash is what? Cash is king. In our existence, our economy, what we use and what is valuable is money. But you know what? Money can't buy you salvation. In God's economy, the thing that is of value is blood. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And in order for us to be purchased, there had to be shedding of blood. Now, it couldn't be you or me, because we were infected. By nature, we have this, what we understand to be a sinful nature. And God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world who took on our form. He became one of us. God the Son, who is eternal, became a man. And He was sinless and spotless. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And His blood is what atoned for us. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. Isn't it a blessing to be forgiven? He's redeemed us. He's purchased us back. What the cost was extremely costly, something we could never do because we're sinners. But He did because He was sinless. But it cost Him His life. And we have been forgiven as a result of what He did. And we believe in what He did. And what a blessing it is to be forgiven. You know, years ago, many years ago, understand that, I was in a lot of trouble with the law. It was stupid. I was 16 and 17, and I thought I knew everything. And I thought I was invincible, and I could do what I want, whenever I want, and who are you to tell me what to do? Does that remind you of yourself? Sometime years ago? Well, I got several speeding tickets, ended up losing my license, aggravated unlicensed operator a couple times. I had a bench warrant out for my arrest or was facing 6 months in jail. So I had quite a few issues there, and I was so young when I did all that, and I let that go for a couple years. And then the Lord saved me at 19. And I came under conviction and I realized, I really need to take care of this. I need to take care of this. It's not right. My attitude towards the government and the world and everything that was against me, and it was really me against everything, was horrible. So the Lord changed that attitude. Anyway, long story short, I hired a lawyer. And I paid him $250. And we went into that courtroom. And the lawyer just told me to say very minimal things, and I just followed exactly what he said. At that age, I didn't understand anything that they were talking about. It sounded like they were talking a different language. And after everything was said and done, I didn't know what was going to happen. Am I going to jail? Do I got to pay money? What's going on? He said, all you owe me is $250. Everything else has been dropped. All the charges have been dropped. You have been forgiven. I said, are you serious? All those judgments against me have been completely forgiven. And, you know, even though I got in trouble in other times, because let's face it, since 19, I'm 44. You got to imagine, I've gotten pulled over since then. No, it wasn't just yesterday. They never said, you know what you did over here? They never came back to me. That never was brought up again because it's been forgiven. And you know, all of us who are in Christ, we had a serious issue called a sin issue. But when we put faith in what Christ did on the cross, that sin issue was completely wiped away and forgiven. Just like the court, I don't get phone calls from the court every once in a while and say, hey, remember what you did? We're coming after you. It's never been brought up again. And as believers, that sin issue has been dealt with, never, ever to be brought up again. Isn't that a blessing? And I'm not talking about the court issue. I'm talking about, again, our sin issue. That's been dealt with at the cross when we put faith in Christ. Now, my intention when I got tickets after that, and there haven't been all too many, never serious anymore. They were very innocent. Before it was a whole different thing. Now, I've gotten some tickets after that. It's been years, years, but they were very unintentional. And why do I say that? Well, because since we became children of God through faith in Christ, you've still done things that aren't right. But the sin issue has been dealt with. You don't have to worry about that. And your intention is not to continue in sin. Your intention is to do what's right. But when you fall, what do? You say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, change me. I don't want to be this way. Isn't that true? When you're a child of God, you have a different attitude towards sin and towards those things that don't please God, and you want to please God with all of your heart. And isn't it a blessing that you have been forgiven? In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You think about all the sins that you have committed since you can recall. Think about it. When is the earliest you can go back and think in your mind, what I'm about to do is not right. Nobody's here to watch me. And I want to do it anyway, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And you did it. And then you felt, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And you just continued to do things that you knew were wrong. Can you count them on one hand? Of course not. God's grace, the riches He is so rich in grace that his grace is inexhaustible. And all of your sin, because of his grace, has been forgiven. Think about that. Not only yours, though. The person sitting next to you. The person behind you. The person in front of you. The people all around you. Because you are in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. You know, if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sin to him. So think about how rich God is, not only our sins here, but the sins of the world. Talk about grace. And not only the sins of the world, think about the sins of ages past, every generation past. You know, when you talk about the riches of his grace, do you know who the number one richest individual is in the world right now? Bill Gates. You know how much he's worth? $76 billion. $76 billion. Do you know what that is worth? You know how much that is? Of course you don't. None of us do. $76 billion. That's 76 with nine zeros.
If you have $1 billion in your checking account just sitting there,
yeah,
every month you earn $414,000.
Wow.
On $1 billion.
Imagine that. Imagine that. What would you do with $76 billion. If you had 10 people in your family that owed you $5,000 each, would you forgive them of their debt? No? I thank God you are not God. Where's your grace? $76 billion? And you can't forgive 10 people $5,000? Wow. But you know what? Praise God, he saved you. I love you. $76 billion is a lot of money. That's rich, huh? That's rich. Yet, he's not rich enough to pay the national debt, which is almost $18 trillion, $17.6 billion. I'm sorry, $17.6 trillion dollars. Now, what's my point? That's a lot of money, isn't it? Bill Gates is rich, but he's not that rich. He's crazy rich, but he's not that rich. He's in a rich that I have no clue what that's like. And yet God is rich in his grace, so much so that he was able to cover the debt of humanity in our generation and every generation past. That is a blessing. What a blessing. Let's look at verse 8. Which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. That is to say that God, in his infinite wisdom, thought and provided everything that was necessary in order for you to be redeemed and forgiven. He thought of everything. Because we had a huge problem before we came to Christ, and that was the debt of our sin. and there was no way we could pay that. But God, in His Son Jesus Christ, He took care of everything. He provided for everything in order for you and for me to have a right relationship with God, to be forgiven of this massive debt that we owed because of our sin, and to inherit such a wonderful inheritance in Christ. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure of His purpose, which He purposed in Himself. That is that the plan of redemption for you and for me, it was something that He thought of all on His own. None of us helped Him. He thought of this in eternity past, and it brought Him joy to provide for us the wonderful gift of eternal life. And He made known to us the mystery of His will in redeeming us, that will that He has. Remember, the Scriptures tell us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and that come to repentance. That's God's will. And He's revealed that to those who know Him. It's not a mystery that can't be understood, but it's not understood by those who don't believe. But once a person believes in Christ, we understand the mystery of His will. And what is it specifically? That in the dispensation, verse 10, of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. You know, Paul's sentences are so pregnant. Do you realize that from verse 7 to verse 10, that was just one sentence? Talk about pregnant. There's like quintuplets in there. And you can't just read the sentence without giving each thought some attention, because you miss so much when you do. What he is saying is that this mystery that's been revealed to us who are His children is that one day He is going to gather all of us, because there is a division. There is a separation. There is time, and then there is eternity. Right now, we are in time, but there are many believers who are in eternity. And so there is this separation, but there's going to come a time, and this is all a part of God's plan that He has allocated, that there would be what we understand to be time. But at the end of this administration or this time frame or this dispensation, which is all predetermined in His divine, with His divine wisdom and insight and knowledge, there's going to come a time where this time, as we understand it, is going to end. And then we're going to enter into eternity. That is all of humanity. There's no longer going to be time. And He's going to gather everyone all together. And you know what that means? That there is going to be this holy union and a holy reunion. There is going to be this holy union again, that everyone, think about it, you are going to be in the presence of Christ. You're going to be able to communicate with Abraham, Abel, a Seth, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Moses. We're all going to be together. Samson, Samuel, King David, all of these heroes that we look to and we're inspired by their lives and how God used them, we're all going to be gathered together. There's going to be this holy family union and reunion. All of our loved ones that we have lost or have departed into eternity to be with the Lord, we're going to be reunited. Isn't that a blessing? What a blessing! You understand why I call this message, "What a Blessing"? And you know what else that means? That there is going to be a unity that we have never experienced on this side of existence. And it's so sad that there is a disunity. You know, in Christ, there is one Father, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one church. And that's us who are in Christ. That's what the Scriptures teach. Look at here in this book, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "I, therefore," verse 1, "the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the call with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We don't see that here on the earth practically. Positionally, that's reality for us who are in Christ. But practically, that's not what we see. Here on the earth, we see a great division among God's people. And I'm not going to say that everyone that names the name of Christ is God's child, because I don't know. I can't say that. But all I can say is I do see a division among many groups. But you know, in heaven, there's not going to be a division. You realize that? In heaven, there's not going to be the Baptists. There's not going to be the Pentecostals. There's not going to be the Charismatics. There's not going to be the Assemblies of God. There's not going to be the Catholics. There's not going to be the non-denominational. Whatever that is. You are either in Christ or you are not. You are a saint or you ain't. That's what the Bible teaches. This whole division, Paul says, when you are divided and when you esteem one group higher than another and you put a personality, are you not carnal and acting like mere men? Are you not regenerated people acting like the unregenerated? That's immature. We are followers of Jesus. And we put labels on ourselves, but Jesus has not put labels on us. There's no labels on God's people. This is, in closing, what it boils down to. Paul said that the Lord knows those who are His. And let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what it boils down to. You are either part of the body of Christ or you are not. We put labels on each other. And what does that do? That brings division. We divide because I don't agree with the way you see things. I have a different opinion than you. And you know what's going to happen? Those who are truly born again, when we enter into eternity, we're going to realize that it's not just my little group up there. There's not going to be, oh, Crespo, you're here, great. There's the non-denominational section for you with the contemporary worship and the casual attire. Remember, Jesus said, Paul said this, rather, the Lord knows those who are His, and let those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. One last illustration, and then we'll pray. When I had just gotten saved, I was 19 years old. I was living in Dallas, Texas, and I was working for a company. They were going to have a New Year's Eve party. Of course, it was a custom that you would go to the New Year's Eve party. So I got there. I went there. And as I got there, it was late at night, and I was looking around at all the people that were there. You know, there's guys, girls, people drinking and partying. And as I was looking at them, the Holy Spirit kind of gave me a revelation or a vision of what was going on. And I saw everyone had masks on. That really didn't happen, but that's what I saw. I saw everyone with masks on, covering their true intentions. A guy was talking to a girl because all he really wanted was, and people were acting and performing for each other to get what they wanted to be fulfilled in their own hearts from other people. And so these masks. And the Lord spoke to me and said, David, this is not you anymore. You don't belong here. I want you to leave. And you know, I departed. I still went to work, but I departed out of that scene. I've been departed out of that scene for many, many years. There's a departure that takes place that Jesus, Paul said concerning Christ, He knows those who are His, and let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Remember what Jesus said. He says, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't I? Groups, people in churches, denominational groups, haven't I done? And He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. Sobering words from our Lord. The point is, we are one in Christ without labels. You are either a follower of Christ or you are not. And I hope to God that we could start living more here on earth practically the way it is positionally, because when we go to heaven, there's not going to be this division. And the important thing is this, that we live in a way that's not practicing iniquity. Now, what a blessing! We have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We are going to experience a glorious union and reunion. What a hope we have in Christ. What a blessing. Father, we thank you. for your great love and for your word, where we come to understand the truth that sets us free and does cause us to praise you, God. And Lord, now as we stand in your presence, Lord, our heart's desire is to sing from our hearts as it is our affection, you are our affection, and our desire is to praise you with all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.